God is good. God is good. In all the time. Awesome. Happy Sunday. Happy New Year. In our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm happy to be here again for another month with you so I can share the Word of God. It's always I'm always amazed when it picked me to come and preach. I don't know. I don't think I have anything to say. I just pray and prepare those sermons, and hopefully the Lord can guide me so that you can learn something. You know, I went through experiences. I don't have a long life. You know, I'm just 33, I believe. Yeah, I think I'm 33. You forget when you get older, you start to forget your age. But you know, I went through some experience, and I seen some stuff that I think that as Christians, you know, we ought to see things a little different than the rest of the world. So, you know, Happy New Year in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, it seemed that every January we have this almost forced obligation to talk about change. Every year is something about something new, time to change, you know, New Year resolutions, all that good stuff. And, you know, me, I believe that it is the wrong way to start a new year. Because most, if not all, of the plans for change that we have put for ourselves for the year will start within 5 weeks, or even sooner than that. And I don't need to share any experiences because most of us are our best own examples of how we fail to stick with change. But rather, the new year should be a time to review our progress in this experience that we call life. It is an experience. We need to understand this, that there is no such thing as a specific time to change, but rather, change is constantly happening. And we are constantly changing to better ourselves with the hope to be a better human being for our community. And if you are able to grasp this perspective, with a lot of work, you can be certain that you will have more memorable successes than failures. And I want to emphasize on this statement, right? A lot of work. Because without deliberate practice or perseverance, change will never happen for your benefit. Change will happen, but not for your benefit. Last month, I make it perfectly clear, right, that everything in life is a choice, which bear consequences whether it's good or bad. There's no solution in life, but only trade-offs. And whatever you do will bring something in your life and will push something else aside. Life is more bearable. It's easier when we accept that our choices, which produce good and bad consequences, shape the experience that we have. And in order to experience a good life, our set of belief that influences our choice ought to be good. So this morning, I'm not going to remind you that you may have things to change in your life, because we already know, we already wired to automatically associate January as a month of change. But rather, I will share with you 4 points to effectively process change so that you may have a positive result in your life. So the first thing to recognize when facing change is that Jesus himself never changed, right? Hebrews 13 verse 8 says, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus is the anchor for dealing with all changes, because he is the one thing that we can count on for not change. So ask yourself this question, right? Why do we seek change in our life? Why do we seek to change certain situations? Why do we want to change career? Why we want to change a car, right? Or a house or clothes? Why do we seek change? Well, Because whatever we have now, right, does not satisfy our desires. And it is not what we want. So we seek to change that very thing so that we can obtain what we want. But once we get what we want or we need, there's no need to change. So this is why Jesus is the perfect example, because we can find perfect joy, peace, and satisfaction in him. Therefore, Jesus doesn't need to change. However, we human beings, we constantly change with the hope that we can come close to the unchangeable Jesus. So the first thing to effectively transform the process of change is found in this verse, right? John 15, verse 5, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. So number one, we need Jesus because we can do nothing without him. We fail miserably in changing because we strongly believe that we can do all things on our own. This is a flawed thinking. Jesus said that the one who remains in me and I in him produce much fruit. And this statement reinforced what I said before, that our choices, which produce good and bad consequences, shape the experience that we have. And in order to produce good results or good fruits, our set of belief that influences our choices ought to be good. And those set of belief can be found in Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the power source. And we don't need to change on our own. So for the past 6 years, I am constantly reviewing my relationship with time. And I found that time is one of the most neglected resources in the world. You may say that time is not a resource because it's not tangible. You cannot touch it. You cannot feel it, like food or water or clothes or money. However, I could argue that time is the most important commodity of them all. How do you get the things that you want, right? How do you get food? How do you get clothes? How do you get shelter? With money, right? How do you get money? By selling your time. People's time has different values. Some people, of course, you know, they have people that have, they get paid three, their time is $3 an hour. Some is 10, some is 30, some is 2,500, some is $100,000. Nevertheless, you're selling your time for money. So if money is one of the most important resources that someone have, why do people waste it away? When one of the biggest pet peeve that I have, right, is when people, especially young people, right, say that they do not have time. Now, I always respond by asking them, what do you mean you don't have time? I mean, what do you do, you know, in your life, right? And what we found, right, is that most of the time is wasted in, I think it's IG, TikTok now is the new thing, right? Wasting their life away for the sake of screen time, right? It's a truly a meaningless way to live. So Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1 says, there's an occasion for everything and a time for every activity under heaven. So number two, we need to change our relationship with time. We fail miserably in changing because we think that we can do everything without Jesus, and because we do not allocate enough time to see the result become a reality. So this leads us to number three. We need to plan our time. Proverbs 16:9 says, a person's heart plans his way, but the Lord determines his steps. Planning is a crucial activity in someone's life, and even more for Christians. We do not have time to waste, or we ought to maximize our time. Change for your benefit will happen only if you allocate enough time to work on it. And if you want to increase the amount, for example, if you want to increase the amount of time that you read your Bible in a week, you must plan the day and hours to do so. If you don't plan your time in advance, something else is going to occupy that time. that something else is called distraction or boredom. And we all know that what boredom attracts, right? Nothing. You're just going to grab the first thing in front of you so that you can do. YouTube, Facebook, all those social media out there, they are built. You know, if you understand how those social media is built, it's built to, for the sole purpose of capitalizing or monetizing your time. They hire PhD people, people that are very smart, so they know how to manipulate your mind so that they can get as much time from your attention, your time, so that they can monetize that. And that is bad. That is very, very bad. You know, it's called Social Dilemma, I believe, in Netflix. And it's crazy because they were interviewing people, high executive that was working for social media. Even them do not allow their children to use that stuff, right? Even them don't allow their children to use that stuff because they know how destructive it is, right? So I can tell you with complete confidence that if you allow God to take control over your life, the plans that you have prepared for your time will be inspired by God. That's what that verse means. Your heart plans, but God determines his step. You come with the plans, but because you are so grounded in Jesus Christ, your plan is his plans. This far, in order to have effective, lasting change, we know that we need Jesus as our power source. We need to change our relationship with time and plan our time. But all of this is nothing if we do not choose to do the work. We must choose to act today and every following day. I don't know if you noticed, right, in all my preachings, I always say that we need to act. Christian cannot be idle. Faith is an action. Love is an action. Hope is an action. God did not create us to be inactive. He created us with the ability to make choices and act on those choices. So the theme verse, Jeremiah 18, verse 11, and I'm going to read 12 too as well, says, so now, Say to the men of Judah in the residence of Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I am about to bring harm to you and make plans against you. Turn now, each from your evil way, and correct your ways and your deeds. 12. But they will say, it's hopeless. We will continue to follow our plans, and each of us will continue to act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. So I'm going to put it very simply. God is giving us a choice. Do what is right and get good results, or do what is wrong and get bad results. Our last point to be effective, to have effective lasting change, is we need to make good choices and work on it constantly. Most people give up their plans. That's why you see a lot of people fail their New Year's resolution, right? They give up their plans because they do not work on it continuously. They give up because it is not as easy as they thought, right? That it would be. Well, I have some news for you. I'm gonna give you a reminder. Let me remind you that life is not an easy experience. It is quite difficult, especially with the amount of distractions that keep us away from God, the source of all goodness. That is why Jesus said that we cannot do nothing without him. We must constantly work to remain in him so that he can inspire us to make good choices to our last lasting change. So to conclude, let us rethink the new year as a time to improve on the change that is already in progress. If we want positive results in our life, if you want positive results in 2020, okay, you need to do number one, we need Jesus because we can do nothing without him. We need to change our relationship with time. We need to plan our time. And we need to make good choices and work on it constantly. Let's pray. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, rests in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, and my God in whom I trust. Heavenly Father, we come before you again this morning to give you thanks for everything you have done for us, Lord, this week. And it is a privilege to come here and to worship and to give you praise that you deserve and to hear your word. We know it's a new year, 2021, and everybody is excited to put everything behind them, 2020 behind them, so that they can start a new year. But let us not think of this as the only time for a change, but let us think of this as the constant change, the change that is already going into our life, to improve on that change, to review, to analyze, to see what we have done good and bad, to let the good and the old back, and to incorporate new things, new choices that we can incorporate in our lives so that we can reap good results, good consequences. So Lord, we come before you humble that we cannot do anything without you. We are the branches that is in you, and we seek your source of power. We seek the source of goodness. We seek the source of faith, of love, of hope in you. Thank you again for everything you have done for us. Thank you for protecting us for 2021. And let us realize that in this life, nothing is meaningful except being with you and doing your work and being in you so that the true work can continue. And that work is to go out there and bring more souls in your kingdom so that people, the lost, can rejoice the same way that we rejoice in the church. It's not because we really come to you. It's only in the name of Jesus we pray.